Happy Saturday, Colorado Springs. It's Coach Chris, and it's time for the Cerebral Edge on Power Talk 1040. I'm going to take a half hour here and hopefully give you the edge you need to get you 1% better every day. Now, I like to do that with a little help from my friends, and today I've got a very special guest, friend, mentor, Dr. Grove Higgins from Neuro Athlete Clinic in Monument, Colorado. And I would go through all the things he does, but what don't you do, Grove?
Love to cook, love to play music, love to listen to music. Yeah, there's a few things that I don't do, but it's usually working on cars. Yeah, there you go. I don't work on cars.
So don't bring your car to him if you need fixed.
Right.
But I've been working with Grove for, over 10 years now, I think.
Yeah, 2010, 11, somewhere in there. Oh, probably over 10, yeah.
And he led me down this rabbit hole of the nervous system. And on today's show, we're going to shake things up a bit, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that, you know, because we can get it technical, but you know what? I love the person part of things.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And basically what we've been talking about, even before we came on a little bit, is that's what's broken.
Yeah.
Is the person aspect.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, most of the people that I get to see are the tough cases, right? Mm-hmm. I affectionately call them, and it sounds terrible, but it's, when I get asked by business people, you know, who's your ideal client? I had to finally get to the comfortable with the idea of I fix dumpster fires. Because I get doctors that call me up and say, Grove, you try.
Uh-huh.
And I'm perfectly fine with that. I love working with those people and everything, but then you really have to bring the person into it. It's not about their problem.
Yeah, absolutely. That's normally when people come to see people like you and me.
Yeah.
They're like, I have tried everything else, and I still have this issue. I still have this back pain or this knee pain. And we tend to look at it a completely different lens than what most people do.
Yeah, and I think a large part of that is because we've been forced to look away from the problem and look at the whole person, mm-hmm. and how the whole person is part of the problem, not mm-hmm. the other way around.
Yeah, interesting story with that. I had a guy that came in and was talking about his shoulder pain, and so I started, you know, assessing things like breathing and his gait function and all this other stuff. He's like, "Wow, I really love that whole body approach." And that's what's so cool, and what you've actually steeped me in is looking at the whole body versus just the area that hurts. And not only that, but also how the nervous system affects all that.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, when you and I got together working with wounded and injured soldiers, you being one of those guys at the time, and a coach very soon after that, you know, we were interested in helping these guys get beyond their injury, beyond their pain, and into what's next for life, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of them had stopped right at that point because they couldn't get past their pain, they couldn't get past their dysfunction, and they were dependent on a system that kind of kept them there, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And what helped those guys the most was the fact that each of the coaches and including you looked at these people as individuals and were interested in where they were going, not just in resolving a problem.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that the medical system's so broken?
It's a multitude of things, you know, and I can't put all the blame on doctors. It's a system, right? It's a system that's kind of based on numbers. And unfortunately, those numbers come down to dollars, a lot of cases, right? Mm-hmm. So doctors are really put into, and therapists for all purposes, are kind of put into a corner, right? They have a certain amount of time that they can bill for doing certain things. And they only get paid if the things that they do fit into that time segment. And then that means that the companies that they work for need a certain volume in order to clear a certain amount of revenue in order to make it profitable. So they don't have a lot of time. So they'll take you go to a doctor for a 15-minute appointment. How much time do you spend in the waiting room? That's a whole other problem all by mm-hmm. itself. But you get in there, you talk to the nurse, and by the time the doctor comes in, if he spends 7 minutes with you, five of it's the appointment, and eight or more of it is going to be the notes that he has to take. And mm-hmm. he's got to be on to the next guy, and he's usually not finishing those, and he's finishing them later just to keep up. And so he can't get deep into your problem. So you come in with five problems, and he's like, which one do you want to fix? We can't fix them all.
Right.
Let's aim at one today, right? Mm-hmm. And then, unfortunately, that means that they're chasing symptoms rather than chasing solutions. mm-hmm. right? You come in to me and you've got, you got skin that's itching. That could be anything from contact dermatitis, and let's put a little bit of cream on that and get it nice and moist. Or you got hepatitis.
Oh, wow.
We got a big problem, right? Mm-hmm. How much time can I spend diving into each of the particular causes, or do I just keep trying something and it fails and I try something else and that type mm-hmm. of thing? And, I'm a chiropractor, and unfortunately that happens within our practices too. It's like you come in with shoulder pain, and just like you were talking about, you start looking at all of these things. It takes time mm-hmm. and it takes considering the person rather than just the problem. And then the last thing is that we focus in on our tools, unfortunately, mm-hmm. too much, right? You go to a surgeon, he surges. He's got a knife, and he's looking for what his tool will fix. Mm-hmm. And if it can't, he'll refer you out, hopefully, right? And you go to a doctor that all he's got is prescription medications and that type of thing. And even within the chiropractic and soft tissue communities, if I've got a soft tissue tool with my hands or adjusting, I'm looking to see, will my tool fit your problem?
Mm-hmm.
But the better way, at least the way that I feel, is consider that person, pull back, and then see what the person needs. Because if I don't possess the tool, I should be referring out. And if I've got a tool, I got to use it the right way to get the result that you need.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And that's one of the things that I was asked to talk to ACSM a while back. And I don't know how far they went with it, but they're like, what do personal trainers need, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, they need better communication with doctors because they're actually the leading medical professionals out on the field.
I agree with that. I agree with that. We work with a company called MedFit out of California, but they're worldwide. They got trainers out there. And that's the thing that they're trying to do, is break into this dynamic dialogue between trainers and coaches and their medical providers for the patient. So that way they can take what they really need outside of the medical practice and put it into play. The best part about being a coach is that you get multiple opportunities to stand before somebody, educate them over and over and over again, and help to drill in what really needs to change. Mm-hmm. Because by the time they come to somebody like you or me, because of the clinical settings that we work in, mm-hmm. their problems are deep. Right?
Oh, yeah.
They don't come walking in with a knife sticking out of them. That'd be great if it was, because then you'd say, oh, there's the problem. Let's take care of that.
It's not
right?
about the nail.
but if they've been to doctor after doctor and they've been trying and struggling and failing, well, you've got to take a different approach. And a lot of it comes down to changing their behaviors and helping them realize what's really helping to perpetuate their problems. And a lot of times it's a behavior that they've grown up in their own self that needs to be fixed. And that can be body, mind, or spirit.
Yeah, that is a perfect aspect to that, fixing that problem is, could it be some body, right? Could it be some mind, right? I see you have the mind-body prescription in front of you as one of your books there.
Yeah. So one of the things that we've had to come to grips with is that, and this doesn't mean people are crazy, but their problem exists in their heads. The body's defense mechanism, or the nervous system's defense mechanism, is to protect you from everything.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, if you hurt your low back, the chances of you having pain in your low back again for any cause goes way, way up, way up. And low back pain is the most common pain that a human being can have on the planet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we get good at it. So you bend over and you sprain, strain something, you can have back pain there. But you have a bad day where you have a fight with your wife, or a bad day at work, or a bad day at school as a kid, and you can all of a sudden have back pain that isn't because your back actually is hurting because it's injured, mm-hmm. but because your brain's hurting and needs to get your attention, and that's the easiest way it can get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really amazing. When I first started hearing about people with, backs that basically look like a road map, but they have no pain.
Right.
And there's some people that have a pretty close to a perfect back, and they have all kinds of pain.
Yeah, most definitely. I love radiology. I spent 500 hours on a radiology ward in the hospital in Rochester, New York. And so I got to see thousands of x-rays and MRIs and such. And it was amazing to see how bad somebody was and how little pain they could have, and how little damage there was, and how much pain they could have,
mm-hmm.
right? So, pain is not proportional to injury, and so then where else could that pain be emanating from? And what Sarno looks like, looks at in the Mind-Body Prescription, the book that he's got here, he's dead now, but he started this idea of tension myositis, which is basically psychogenically driven pain. It doesn't mean that it's not real. Mm-hmm. It needs to be addressed properly, and the body is part of that addressing it. But if you don't speak to the person's injury, their deep-set injury, then it's not going to go very far, and you're going to have limited success. And so even when I've got somebody on the table, I'm always questioning, is what I'm feeling and what they're experiencing under my hands, or is it someplace else in the body?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I love how he starts to talk about the old brain in that book, right, mm-hmm. and how it's a defense mechanism. So if you have pent up, you know, aggression or whatever, but it's not, you know, acceptable in a social situation and you suppress it, your brain literally looks at that as a threat.
Right. Most definitely. And it wants you to address it, right? Mm-hmm. It's going on in the background. One of the worst things that probably could have happened to the human race is 24/7 news cycles and social media, because it's passive, right? I can still remember when my mom was alive and she was having blood pressure problems. When she had the news on in the background, her blood pressure would go up. When she had Lawrence Welk in the background, and she wasn't watching ever. It was in the background. Her brain was listening to it. And when Lawrence Welk was on in the background, her blood pressure was low, right? So the brain is sitting there listening to everything, taking all of this in and getting saturated with all the junk and crap in the world and responding to it. And you don't even have to know it.
No, absolutely. And it's amazing to me, even in the medical community now, with how much has come out in neuroscience, is that that isn't the first thing looked at.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And that's very true. They try their minimum effective drug or treatment, and if that fails, then they go to the next one, and they keep escalating and escalating and escalating. But that's almost like shooting darts with your eyes closed, right? You're hoping you're hitting the target, much less hitting the bullseye.
No, right? Absolutely. Right. Okay, great info today on the Cerebral Edge. I'm Coach Chris, and my guest today is Dr. Grove Higgins. Let's take a minute to pay some bills. We'll be right back. This is Power Talk 1040 KPPF. We are back on Power Talk 1040, talking to Dr. Grove Higgins, out of NeuroAthlete, who has a completely different approach to treating pain and looking at the patient as a person, right, other than just some dollar signs, right? And we went over how the mind can be a problem. Now we're going to go over a little bit of body and spirit, and how do you do that, Grove?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, really, the body is not that mysterious, right? It's a series of feedback loops. What that means is that, you know, there's something that goes into the body. You know, you see something, you experience something, something touches you, you stretch something. That input goes into the brain. The brain processes it and gives you an output, right? Mm-hmm. It either likes it or it doesn't, right? So you bend over to tie your shoe and things aren't aligned real well, and all of a sudden you get a spasm and a pull in your back. Mm-hmm. That's because that feedback loop said to the brain, or at least the brain thought that, hey, this is not safe. And so it was protecting you by spasming and causing that pain, right? And unfortunately, that lasts for a while, right? Mm-hmm. So then the job of trying to fix the body is just trying to figure out what part of that loop is not working properly and then fixing that part. Now, for a chiropractor like myself and a soft tissue injury expert, of course, I've got those tools. I've got excellent tools. I've got my chiropractic adjustments and manipulations. I've got active release techniques and other soft tissue techniques to go after those particular physical injuries and identify them and take that away and fix that loop. So that way the brain goes, oh, okay, things are all right. I'm aligned. I'm not going to fall apart. And I can ease back on the spasming and I can let this guy move without pain, right? So, you know, the body part is actually, you know, quite easy in that respect. Outside of that, though, again, the body can get locked into this cycle of fear about movement. You keep doing the same thing. You keep hitting your thumb with a hammer. Eventually, all you have to do is hold the hammer and the thumb's going to hurt because your brain's going to go, hey, idiot, don't do it again, right?
We've been in the situation before.
Yes, unfortunately. We're guys, so we do it well, right? So, you know, some of that is just learned pain, right? And then we have to unlearn that. And again, it's fixing those feedback loops and teaching the brain that pain is not necessary in a lot of the cases that we feel it, or it's not at the level that we should, because pain does not equal injury, and injury doesn't always equal pain, right? And we see it all the time in combative sports and things like that, where somebody gets really hurt, yet they can still perform.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Right? But then you get a paper cut, and you can barely breathe, right? Right? So, you know, why is that hurt and that doesn't hurt and things like that? And that's working with the nervous system to train it so that way it does its job better, right? And that's what we do a lot of in the clinic, because, again, most of the people we get to see are, you know, the proverbial dumpster fires, and they need deep work to get that out of the system.
Yeah. And the other thing I like about your approach too, Grove, is that you keep saying, you know, I'm just a chiropractor and this, that. Don't get me wrong. Dr. Grove is also a great strength and conditioning coach. He's got a CSCS. He knows how people move. And I've seen him work with people, and it's really interesting, especially when he looks at gait or something. Because I like to think I know quite a bit until I'm around Dr. Grove for about 5-10 minutes, and then I'm like, maybe I don't know anything. But every time he'll have somebody move, he'll just have them walk, right? Because gait is part of that pain loop that you keep talking about, right? Because how many steps a day do you take? And how much?
If you're doing your job, right, you're getting 10,000 at the minimum, right? If you work at Costco, 36,000, right? So you better get those right, right? It's like driving around in your car. If the car is aligned well, it's highly efficient, you save gas, it goes fast without wear and tear, and the tires last for forever. But as soon as your alignment comes off just a little bit, something's off, right? And you can see it in your gas mileage, and you don't get as much out of the tank, right? You wear out, and you're replacing tires, and you don't know why, things like that. But you got to fix that alignment so that way it's moving really well. So when the body, human body, it's even responding to other things other than alignment, right? So when I'm watching somebody move, I'm looking at their whole body. I keep telling people, keep walking, because I got a lot to look at, because I do, right? Down from your toes all the way up to how your hair is moving if you got long hair. I can't do that on you, but you know, how your hair is bouncing, because that tells me where the energy is being produced and where it's going to, and then I can start to figure out why.
For me, it would be how the glare is bouncing.
Right. Well, maybe sometimes that, right? That's why I brought my sunglasses, just in case. Right?
Get a little dim in there. But yeah, it's amazing to me that I've heard even some neuroscientists talk about that, is that, you know, that the brain is an output, but they don't really look at it as a feedback loop.
Yeah, a lot of times. Hey, human beings, unfortunately, we default to the lowest energy state that we can, right? Which means that we're lazy at heart, unfortunately. And so even in practice, especially when you are pushed really hard and you've got lots of people to see and you've got lots of brain work to do, you default to the easiest thing that you do. And unfortunately, that's why medicine and practice in general tends to get really broken. So, yeah.
So some of you guys on the show that listen to it know about my back pain story a little bit. And this is the gentleman that helped fix me with my back pain. The first time I saw him, I went through nerve ablations, steroid injections, barely able to move. And I come to some dude that tells me to move my ankles a little bit. And all of a sudden my back is better. And I'm going, what is going on with that? Do you want to explain about that a little bit and why that worked?
Yeah, definitely. You know, just from a biomechanics standpoint, everything starts at the ground. You push on the ground pushes on you. And if that energy is traveling through the system properly, that biomechanical injury, energy, then all the parts move well, right? And the brain doesn't fear to move, right? But it goes beyond that, right? You've got problems. You were in the Army. Army's fantastic at making feet bad, right? Because you spend a lot of time on them. You're loading them. You're in bad shoes a lot of times and stuff like that. So by fixing something else that didn't hurt, the brain can go, well, at least I can check that off my list of things that I have to worry about.
Yeah.
And then it looks at everything differently and oftentimes better. Right. So there's those aspects. And then I think also, Chris, it comes down to that environment. When you and I got together and you did the ankle tilt, it was an environment that was supporting you and your brothers. And it was a healing environment. Right. And so I had a chance of making any suggestion and having an improvement on you because it wasn't a medical office in that case.
Right? Right.
That first time, it was a gym with a bunch of other dudes around.
Yep.
And we were able to do something in an environment that you felt really safe and you felt really supported. And other guys were doing the same thing. You weren't alone. And things happened without mm-hmm. really trying that hard. And you were able to prove to yourself that you could fix your own pain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next step just came naturally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you became interested and wanting to not only fix yourself, but fix your brothers.
Yeah.
And now fixing everybody you can get your hands on, right?
Right. It's truly, you know, when you start doing that and you start to look at the body a little bit differently, it changes your whole thought process on how everything works. And it's just kind of natural when you find something that the light bulb goes off, that you just want to do that for so many other people.
Yeah, definitely. You want to share it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the spirit of evangelism, right?
Yeah.
That's it, right? It's the good news. You're sharing that good news,
yeah.
right? And part of it's how I felt, sharing how I felt. And
mm-hmm.
I want you to feel the same way,
mm-hmm.
right? It's sharing the information because I want to make your life better, your quality of life better,
mm-hmm.
or I want to save your life,
mm-hmm.
right? Why would you want to hold that back?
Right.
Right? And you haven't.
Yeah, you just can't. And that's the other part to your clinic that I like is the spiritual aspect.
Yeah, yeah. I just, when somebody comes before me, I've got the whole person there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mind, like we already talked about, body. Right? They got there. They got a body,
mm-hmm.
right? And their spirit, too. Mm-hmm. And I can't separate them. As soon as you start to separate those three components of a human being, you've disintegrated them, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've taken them apart to their basic parts. And the chances are that injury that I'm going to be helping you with, that pain that I'm going to help you with, runs through all three parts,
mm-hmm.
right? So spirit is a big part of that. And the thing that I think most of us don't admit is how big a part the spiritual aspect is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't care if you are, you know, an ultra orthodox, theologically trained individual that really has a deep understanding of that, or just somebody that's walking through and doesn't know what's going on in the world, really, and mm-hmm. you know, is atheist or agnostic. That spiritual aspect is there.
Yeah.
And I have the great opportunity to be everybody's bartender that comes and sits before me, right? And at some level with everybody, that aspect gets brought up, and I don't get to bring it up. They bring it up to me,
mm-hmm.
right? As soon as they start to see their pain isn't what they think it is,
mm-hmm.
the spiritual aspect becomes important, and it becomes part of our relationship and our conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is the same with like personal trainers, bartenders, and hairdressers, right?
Right.
We all sit there, and listening is one of the biggest key components.
It really is. And in fact, I'll tell you what, in medical practice of any kind, the listening part is probably the most important part.
Mm-hmm.
If I can help you articulate what is going on in you, I have the firm belief that you know what's going on, and I need to listen to you because you're going to tell me what's wrong with you before
mm-hmm.
I even touch you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing how kind of we inherently kind of know what to do, but we don't know what to do.
Right, right. Well, we hold back, right? Because mm-hmm. we're like, what do I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. And then with the advent of Google and everything like that, it could be an expert, but they have no perspective. So when they start to search Google, instead of me going, oh, great, another one of these, right? I sit there and I'm like, what is he searching for? Because somewhere in there, he's searching for the right thing. He
mm-hmm.
just doesn't know,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's some situations to where they're like, well, I've got this, you know, I had this one guy come to me, he's like, I got this knee pain. He goes, but it feels good every time I press on my thigh.
Right.
And it's like, well, okay, that kind of tells me some stuff. Maybe he's got a little bit of tight fascia in his quadriceps. So let's do some SMR, you know, and then we did it. He's like, wow, that feels a ton better. It's like, yeah, you kind of already inherently knew what
you told me. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, exactly. That's some of the easiest bills I got right there.
Right, right.
Oh, man. But Grover, tell us how people get a hold of you, where to find you. And listeners, we're going to have him back again on part two next week. So make sure you pay attention. If you like this episode, make sure you tune in next Saturday at 12, too. So how do people get a hold of you, Grove?
Yeah, definitely. Go online to neuroathlete.com. Cairo.com if you want to find us online. Otherwise, feel free to call us up at 719-225-4949. We do free consults with people. So if you don't know if we can help you, I'll invest time in you to help you figure that out. And if I can't, I'll make sure you know where to go so you can get help. And you can talk to Pat, Mary, who's been on the show with you as well, and myself.
Great folks.
Let's get you started on changing things.
Absolutely. And as always, you can get a hold of me at CerebralEdgePerformance.com. If you have any questions for the show, go to CerebralEdge1@gmail.com, and I'd love to answer whatever questions you have on fitness. This has been the Cerebral Edge on Power Talk 1040. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope what you heard today will make you at least 1% better, because 1% every day adds up, doesn't it? That's exciting. Join me next Saturday at noon right here on Power Talk 1040 with, again, Dr. Grove Higgins. I'm Coach Chris. Until then, stay strong.